ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Ngā mihi nui. I'm Alison Balance and welcome to this Our Changing World podcast from RNZ. This week, we're celebrating New Zealand's annual research honours with interviews with some of the winners. In a year when, for the first time, more than half of the awards went to women. Professor Lisa Matasu-Smith is a molecular anthropologist at the University of Otago. She's won the 2018 Mason Jury Medal for her groundbreaking work using DNA to understand human migrations.
So I'm interested in humans, human behavior, human adaptation, human history, and I use molecular tools to answer those questions. The main area of research that I have been focusing on is the settlement of the Pacific, and using molecular tools, which basically means using DNA data, to answer questions about human origins in the region, how people settled the Pacific, and now increasingly what the implications of that are for example, some of the health issues that are facing Pacific peoples today, and really integrating an evolutionary and anthropological approach to understanding human health.
Paint a picture for me about how the Pacific was peopled, and talk a bit about the work that you've been doing, which is a lot of collaborative work with people across the Pacific.
Absolutely. As I've always said, the settlement of the Pacific is truly one of the greatest migration events in human history, an incredible feat of knowledge and skill and guts for people to actually cross the great distances of ocean to explore and settle the islands of the Pacific. We know that people left island Southeast Asia, you know, probably 4,000 to 5,000 years ago. We know that they arrived first in the islands off the north coast of New Guinea, the Bismarck Archipelago, about 3,300 years ago or so. And we see the material culture that we describe as the Lapita culture being a marker of those movements of people. And they ultimately reach the edge of the Polynesian Triangle, Samoa and Tonga, about 2,900 years ago. So Polynesian origins can be traced back to those Lapita populations, but we think that there may be some additional complexity and that perhaps there were other people coming in after that period of time, maybe 1,500 years ago, 1,200 years ago, that perhaps drove the next burst out from Samoa, Tonga region into Central East Polynesia, into the Cook Islands, the Society Islands, and ultimately up to Hawaii, out to Rapa Nui, and down to Aotearoa, arriving here, you know, 750 years ago or so.
So how do you do that using DNA?
We've taken a number of approaches, and I think it's important to take a number of approaches because it is quite a potentially complicated scenario, and different lines of evidence are likely to give us a more complete picture of what's going on. So we look at the archaeology and the linguistics. I use the DNA data, which means initially I started looking at the DNA of animals that the colonists who came out into the Pacific carried with them in their canoes, and we used the animal models to track the movement of the founding canoes and identify relationships there. So I started looking at the DNA of the kiori, or ratus excellens, the Pacific rat. And so we could find out where the New Zealand lineages that we see in kiori in New Zealand today, where they came from, and we trace those back to both the Cook Islands and the Society Islands and multiple islands in those archipelagos, which indicated, again, a large number or multiple canoes coming and bringing rats to Aotearoa. We then started looking at some of the other animals, the dogs that were brought down here from the Pacific. We also looked at pigs and chickens, neither of which were brought to Aotearoa, but that were transported by these people who crossed the Pacific 3,000 years ago and through until the settlement of Aotearoa. And then as time went on and as relationships were established with communities and communication and trust was established, we then moved on to looking at DNA of the people themselves when people were ready and wanting that to be done. We look at the DNA of people living in the Pacific today and try to reconstruct, but we can also now use ancient DNA recovered from archaeological remains of animals, but also of people where communities are willing and interested in our undertaking those kinds of studies. So we can actually look at what the DNA makeup was of individuals living in a particular place at a particular time, so we can then start to compare that to modern populations and understand the relationships. Do we have continuity through time, or do we see changes that might be associated with different peoples coming and going? What was the impact of European arrival in the Pacific and the introduction of European diseases, which had a devastating impact on many Pacific communities? Is that perhaps a major event in shaping the genetic makeup that we see in the Pacific today?
I think mitochondrial DNA's been an important tool for you. Can you explain that for me?
So when most people think about DNA, they think about it, you know, kind of as a blueprint, and we know that it's more complicated than that. But it's the DNA that you inherit, you know, from both of your parents. Your nuclear DNA that you get from both your parents is mixed up in every generation. But a wonderful tool for molecular anthropologists, people interested in reconstructing historic relationships, is looking at DNA that doesn't get mixed up every generation. It's inherited in a nice, clean line of descent. And mitochondrial DNA is one of those genetic markers that's passed down solely through the maternal line. And so we can see, in a sense, the movement of women across space and through time. We can also look at the Y chromosome from males that tells us about the paternal history. But it's the combination of, I think, all of these approaches that can tell us about the complexities, not only of the movement of people, but also some of the social structure, by being able to look at mitochondrial DNA and Y chromosome DNA combined with nuclear DNA. We can see, you know, is the history of the migration of women different from the history of migration of men, which is, it is very commonly. If you think about male sailors and whalers and warriors moving across the landscape and raping and pillaging, you're going to have the introduction of specific Y chromosomes that without the mitochondrial lineages coming along from that population, where when you see both mitochondrial and Y chromosomes coming from a particular location or movement of populations, that tells you generally that you've got more of a settlement structure. Or it can tell you about, you know, for example, the movement of a mitochondrial lineages can tell us about the matrilineal and matrilocal structure of a community. Do you move to your wife's family or with your wife's family when a couple gets married? Or do you stay with the husband's family? And so that will cause different patterns of distributions of mitochondrial and Y chromosome markers across a landscape.
You did some groundbreaking work with rangatani or Wairau iwi at Wairau Bar.
Yeah, that's a very exciting project that is ongoing, and it is the result of a collaboration between rangatani or Wairau, the Canterbury Museum, and the University of Otago, and several of my colleagues here. It began with a request for repatriation of koiwi tangata to Wairau Bar by rangatani. Rangatane approved and supported our analyses of the ancient DNA, and in addition to a number of other studies undertaken by some of my colleagues. And so we were able to obtain complete mitochondrial genomes from the closest representatives that we have of the founding population for Aotearoa, because Wairau Bar is one of the earliest archaeological sites in New Zealand and the only site that actually has the burials of a number of individuals. And so we were able to obtain the first complete mitochondrial genomes from the first New Zealanders, and that was pretty exciting. But we were able to combine it with some of the work that I was doing as part of a Cook Fellowship with the Royal Society and the Africa Tau Aotearoa Project, and sample rangatane members today and look at their mitochondrial DNA, and then provide the genetic connection between the population of rangatane today and their tupuna from Wairabar.
How many people arrived in New Zealand, do you think, in the beginning?
It's very difficult to give any specific numbers, but all of the evidence, both the molecular evidence, the archaeological evidence, and the oral traditions are certainly indicative of what we have referred to as a mass migration. You know, we're talking hundreds of women, and probably I would suggest likely to be coming from a number of locations within East Polynesia.
Obviously, there's been a lot more migration into New Zealand in the last couple of hundred years, and you have looked at that genetic diversity as well. Can you tell me a bit about that work?
Yeah, that's been a very enjoyable project that includes both interesting science and community engagement. I looked at over 2,000 people across the country. We focused on five major cities of Auckland, Hamilton, Wellington, Christchurch, and Dunedin, but also did some smaller regional sampling of random people. So I would go to markets and late night food markets or farmers markets, and we'd ask for volunteers to take DNA samples. We just do a cheek swab. And then I looked at the mitochondrial DNA or the maternal ancestry of New Zealanders across the country. And what we found was that all of the major mitochondrial lineages that exist, all of the branches of the human family tree in terms of their mitochondrial lineages, are found here in Aotearoa. So the story of human migrations beginning in Africa and ultimately ending up here, the last landmass that was settled by humans, we carry that history, that great human history, in our DNA as New Zealanders.
Thanks, Lisa. Mason Jury Medal winner Lisa Matasu-Smith is from the University of Otago. I'm Alison Balance, and this Our Changing World podcast first aired on RNZ on the 18th of October 2018. To find out more about this podcast and find interviews with other winners of New Zealand's 2018 research medals, head to our webpage, rnz.co.nz/ourchangingworld. You'll find all sorts of interesting things there, including science award winners from previous years and a whole lot of other stuff, from astronomy to ultra-cold physics. We hang out on Facebook and Twitter as RNZ Science. We are a podcast available on your favourite podcast provider. Look for us under RNZ, Our Changing World. Thanks for listening. Bye for now. Kia pai tō rā.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavourless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.